Flemish composer portraits. Hendrik Toby.
Politics. These days, I hear a lot of gossip about our Rick. He was never very interested in politics, but in the past few years, he seems to be more inclined to speak his mind. That's a lot to do with his mate, Dagon. In fact, his real name was Simon-Pierre Gautier. He was a French dance master who came to Antwerp in 1771 to establish a dance school. Such places were extremely fashionable at the time. He styled himself Dargon, and I have to admit that he was soon quite a success. In 1772, he received guild's rights from the town of Antwerp, and almost immediately after that became a friend of my brother's. He even subscribed to Rick's Opus 1, which was made possible by the financial support of Rick's friends. I wonder if it was Dargon's contacts who helped him to get the six trios published by Le Menu. Rick would also run into him at Charles the Prodi's palace, where he would give music lessons to the children and Dargon would teach them dancing. They've been friends for a good 25 years, I should think. I've always thought that he was a bit of a show-off, but Ricky always gets on well with him. Pretty smart. That much is true. The sort that reads books. Now that I mention it, that's something else that bothers me. I've long become used to hearing that people think there's no decent music written in the southern Netherlands, and the good music must necessarily come from France, Germany, or Italy. But people say the same about books as well, as if nobody reads or writes a word here in Antwerp, let alone reflects on things. I'll give you that most Flemish books are all about religion or are moralising in tone, and often written by priests. On the other hand, though, the people here read a lot in French. For example, in every library in Antwerp, worthy of the name, you'll find work by Voltaire. Rousseau and Montesquieu are also widely read. I remember how in 1779, Monseigneur Wellens, Bishop of Antwerp, made a desperate attempt to reintroduce instruction in the catechism for adults. He was trying to stem the tide of anti-religious books, which were often written in French. Admittedly, the bishop was primarily concerned with pornography, but he was just as concerned about some of the philosophical ideas emanating from Paris, and they were definitely finding an audience here. Moreover, people in Antwerp read a lot. About a third of the population has their letters. I mean, they can read and write. In fact, the Austrian Netherlands were amongst the most literate populations in Europe at the end of the 18th century. The Gazette van Antwerpen is widely read here and sells in large numbers. What's more, people here know more foreign languages than anywhere else in Europe. One of the leading lights of our times is Corneille Spanoche. He is the enfant terrible of Antwerp's Writers Guild and runs his own bookshop as well as printing press. His essays and pamphlets advocate the ideas of the Enlightenment, and it's clear that he gets them from his enthusiastic reading in Diderot and D'Alembert's Encyclopedia. Spanacher became a fervent defender of the anti-clerical policies of Emperor Joseph II and fulminated against the church and the clergy in Uit de Drukkerij der Waarheid, a journal he published himself. He started printing his journal in 1789, but when the Brabant Revolution turned against the emperor, the windows of his shop were smashed, and his stock of books were thrown into the street and burnt by the patriots. His printing press received the attention of the mob, armed with hammers and axes. As very little was left for him in Antwerp, Spanoker fled and spent the rest of his days in Brussels. Spanoker was tight with Dargon and shared many of his radical views. Dargon was a Freemason and was orator over La Concorde Universelle, a lodge founded in 1776. That is to say, he had a way with words. I know that the violinist Jan-Frans Radijn, who often performed with Rick, was also a member of the lodge. Quite a few members of the orchestra of the Tapissierspand were Masons, in fact. There were 8 Freemasons amongst the governors of the Almoners in 1776. To be honest, I've no idea if Rick is a Mason, but I know that his son Bert is. Bert plays horn next to his father in the Tapissierspand. Whatever the case, when the French occupied Antwerp in 1792 as part of their annexation policy, everything changed. The town pipers were abolished after almost 500 years of service. Religious parades, processions, and extravagant music in the churches were prohibited. That brought hard times for us musicians, because there were suddenly far fewer jobs and opportunities to earn a penny going. Even so, Ricky Toby soon found a niche in the market. We now live in a new age of liberty, equality, and fraternity, but at the same time, a new era of enterprise. There are still people with money and political power who organise parties when they need an orchestra. The new municipal administration also continued to make use of musicians. My brother had plenty of conducting experience and started his own small orchestra that played all kinds of events. Well paid, of course. Here, 520 guilders. There, 565 guilders. He did very well out of it. He was probably encouraged and protected by D'Argonne. The radical Frenchman soon became a trusted man for the new regime, and his radical inclinations quickly made him a supporter of the Jacobins. He went into politics and would eventually become a judge. In this way, my brother was able to help his colleagues find work. Not to forget his sons, Bert, Adrian, Jan and Rick Jr. His other son, Jan, was conscripted by lot into the French army in 1798. He became a trumpeter in the regiment of hussars and travelled around Europe in Napoleon's army. When in 1803, Bonaparte visited Antwerp for the first time to inspect the old port, he was greeted by the town's officials, which included D'Argonne, to the tones of Antwerp's concert band. Rick and his son Adrian were amongst the musicians. They stood together at the Watergate to greet Napoleon when he arrived at the Bierkaai from the Vlaams Hoft on the left bank. It must have been a memorable sight, for Napoleon's visit altered the course of Antwerp's history. It was the starting shot in the development and growth of the port of Antwerp until the present day. When Napoleon made his second visit to Antwerp in 1810, Rick Toby was no more, having died in 1809. As for me, Jacobus, Rick's brother, I died in 1798. My name is long forgotten, but my brother Hendrik Toby composed a few pieces that are worth discovering. His music has been enjoying a revival in the past few years, but I can only say that they gave me and many of my fellow citizens of Antwerp a great deal of pleasure.